We hear again from the text of John 20. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In the name of Jesus. Jesus is gathering his church. We remember how we say in the catechism, when we speak of Jesus sending forth his Holy Spirit, that he sends the Spirit to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the whole Christian church on earth, keeping it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And then, to make sure we remember what the church is, the catechism continues, "In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers." So Jesus sends forth the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings to us the gospel, and in that, Jesus is building up his church. Daily, he's cleansing us, making us his own. But Jesus does it, all of this, by speaking his word. By his word, he forgives sins, he cleanses the sinner, and in that word, he is bestowing the Holy Spirit. His word is, of course, both his law and his gospel. Two distinct words doing something different to the sinner. In his law, Jesus is pronouncing the sinner guilty before his Father. In his gospel, he's releasing all guilt, justifying the sinner. And that brings us to where preaching can often go wrong, when we're tempted to think that the sermon is to tell people how to live a less sinful life, how to get rid of sin. But we will never dispel sin by putting someone under the law. On the other hand, we will never accuse the sinner by giving the gospel. The law is God's word to accuse, the gospel, his word to cleanse and free. All sinners, every person on earth, stands under the law's accusation. But where Jesus is speaking his gospel to the sinner, he is gathering his church. John 20:21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is one of the texts that is used by the church and has been since the very first days following St. John. One of the texts used to give us the institution, the mandate of confession and absolution. This strange thing where the Lord has a sinful man standing in front of his people and saying, "I forgive you your sins by the authority of Christ." But in hearing these words, Jesus now lets us be able to describe his church. Because when we look at his church and what it looks like to our eyes, it's a bunch of scared disciples locked in a room where they locked themselves because of their fear that the same thing could happen to them that they saw a few days before happen to their Lord when he was crucified. So that's a picture of his church, a bunch of scared disciples locked in a room. And then when you start looking at these disciples, and at least one of them is known for not having the guts to admit his faith in Jesus in public. Another is known for having been a tax collector for the Roman government, which is the lowest job you can get if you're a Jew. Others are known for trying to position themselves with power over others. All of them, though, will be known for hiding scared in a locked room. But that's Jesus' church. He speaks his word to sinners. He cleanses them. He breathes to them his Holy Spirit. He makes them his church. He does it all by a word spoken into the ear. With Jesus, it's always by a word. He does do things that appear to us to be without speaking a word, and certainly not speaking a word to sinners. He upholds the universe with his word of power. He sends rain and snow. He brings forth crops in the field. He brings to life a baby. He gives different people differing gifts and talents. He distributes all his gifts of creation. He gives his gifts of life and healing and food and strength and all the rest. But all this he does by his word of power. It goes to both Christian and non-Christian. And he does have all power. But the sinner is not saved and is not comforted by the Lord's word of power. The sinner isn't saved by seeing Jesus do some miraculous work. Peter, after all, had seen Jesus do the miracle of walking on the water, and right after that, Peter sank into the water because he had no faith in Jesus. If seeing Jesus walk on water does not create faith, if seeing him heal someone does not create faith, then how will the sinner have faith in Jesus? Not by the word of power, by the word of gospel. Not by a display of power, but by Jesus speaking the gentle word into the ear of the sinner, I forgive you, you're clean, peace to you. So they all see Jesus resurrected. Nothing more powerful than that. It is his power over death. It is his defeat of the demons. It is Jesus ushering in the life of the resurrected body for all who belong to him. But he doesn't just show them his resurrected body. Much more than that, he uses his resurrected body. In his resurrected body, from that now living mouth, he speaks a word into their ears. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. So this is our Lord instituting his gift of absolution. The Lord's gift of absolution, which has a pastor standing in front of sinners to say, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his command, by his authority, I forgive your sins. How can a pastor possibly forgive sins? The pastor is no less a sinner than any Christian gathered into the church. For that matter, he's no less a sinner than any other person on the face of the earth. The pastor is no more spiritual, no more worthy, no closer to God than any other Christian, or else baptism into Christ means nothing. So how can a pastor forgive sins? Because Jesus commanded. Because Jesus instituted absolution. He mandated that the word forgiving the sinner be declared to the sinner in his church. If you forgive the sins of any, says Jesus, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. Jesus instituted the gift of absolution also in other places, such as when he said to the apostles, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16. How can a pastor forgive sins? How can he not? That's what the Lord ordains him to do. Jesus wants sins forgiven. Jesus wants the sinner freed from all guilt. He wants to gather sinners into his church to be in fellowship with him and reconciled with one another. So he gave the gift of absolution so that no sinner would be left in any doubt that the word of Jesus' forgiveness has been spoken into his or her ear. No doubt that Jesus has justified the sinner with the gospel here on earth, and that the sinner then is justified before the Father also in heaven. And what of those sins that are unforgiven? What of Jesus saying, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. John 20:23. When would Jesus ever want forgiveness withheld? Jesus wants forgiveness to be withheld never. He came for just that purpose, to forgive sins, to justify the sinner. Jesus wants no sinner left unjustified before his Father. But our sinful flesh does. That is our sin. The sinful flesh wants to justify self. If we want to know the definition of our sinful flesh, it's not just that we go out and sin. It's that we want to justify ourselves. We want to think that we are somehow less a sinner than that which requires the death of Jesus to justify us. Our sin is that we want to be Christians without the one thing that makes a Christian. We want to be Christians by saying what we think the Christian life looks like, what fruits look like, and then if we do that, we think we're a Christian. But that's not what ever makes a Christian. What makes a Christian is the Lord's gift of repentance and forgiveness. But Jesus wants no sinner ever unforgiven. So he gives the word of warning. When you hold on to your sin, when you think you can deal with your sin yourself by trying to live a better life, when forgiveness is rejected, then forgiveness is withheld. But he did institute absolution for the sinner, to absolve the sinner, to release the guilt, to justify the sinner before his Father, and to gather him or her into his church. It is all by his gift. He set the gift in place for his church by giving the words of mandate to his apostles. He gathers you and me into that church. He does it by a word. It's his kind and gentle word, his word of grace spoken into the ear of a scared sinner. I forgive you your sin. Peace to you. On that day in that locked room, when Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, Thomas wanted to see a miraculous sight, a sign of power. He wanted to see proof that could be understood and perceived in sinful flesh. Jesus, though, wanted Thomas to have much more. Jesus showed Thomas his hands and his side. Jesus, in that, showed him the power of the resurrection. Having shown Thomas the great sight of the resurrected body, Jesus then said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. John 20:29. Faith in Jesus comes only by the ears hearing the gospel of all sin forgiven. Anything apart from that is a false man-made faith. Blessed are those who have not seen Jesus, but who have faith by the hearing of his gospel. The word of Jesus, the word forgiving sin. So Jesus, for us, for you, for our families, instituted absolution. He ordains a man to speak that word so that the gift is delivered and the sinner is left in no doubt. By that word, Jesus gathers you into his church. Peace to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.